Welcome to the Knitmore Girls Podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 540. It is sponsored by The Barmaids, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, and Little Skein in the Big Wool. This week's segments include...
On the Needles.
Events.
Mother Knows Best.
When knitting attacks.
A review.
Tour de Fleece.
And so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. How's it going this week, Mom?
Excellent, lovey. How are you?
I told you I was playing the long game when it came to Stash Dash and my competition with Boston Jen.
Uh-huh.
For those of you who are new listeners, there is a summer challenge issued by the Knit Girls video cast where you compete against yourself to complete as many yards of knitting as you can. Finished objects that you can wear is the goal, right?
And this is an excellent opportunity to finish unfinished projects that have been languishing.
It is great motivation because they have, I mean, it's theoretically competing against yourself unless you are competitive about everything, which I am. And fortunately, I have...
You have like-minded friends.
I have like-minded friends. So Boston Jen has trounced me the last couple of years. And she jumped in, I think, last year when I was competing with Emily.
Yes, she did.
2 years ago. So this year I'm playing the long game. And I'm finishing big projects. Because she's knocked out a couple of shawls, yeah, and a bunch of small stuff, sure. But I finished a sweater this week.
I think she's working on a blanket.
Yeah, I saw that, but it doesn't count until it's finished. And that includes seaming, which... Friends, I'm going to take you on a trip back in time. I've probably told this story because we're on episode 540, so forgive me if you've heard this before. Once upon a time, I was dating someone, and his mom was working on a crocheted blanket for the new baby in the family, who graduated high school this year, in case you're wondering. This is how many years ago this story hails from, and she's an architect, and she's definitely a math person. And she had made all of these beautiful, like, her color choices were solid, and the design was good, and she picked up crocheting again because I was hanging out at their house knitting all the time. And so she thought, oh, we have a new baby. This is a great reason to go back to this, which, you know.
It is.
I totally agree. A new baby is a great reason to go back to knitting or crocheting or any kind of handwork. So anyway, she puts them all out. Like, she lays them out. And she drew, like, a sketch of how she wanted to lay them out first, mm-hmm. because she's an architect, I'm assuming, or just because she likes to doodle and do pretty things. I actually have no idea where the overlap is and where
okay.
it's just her. But I'm pointing this out because I don't want to get 40 architects who are like, actually, that's not a thing.
Okay.
And if it isn't a thing, please tell me. And then I can appreciate her for the artist she is independently of her career. Anyway, so then she starts joining them, and she realizes that this is going to take some time. And she said something like, well, if it takes me 10 minutes to join two squares together and I have this many squares and I'm joining them like this, she's like, it's going to take me 6 hours to put all these, or something like the, a ridiculous amount of time
mm-hmm.
to join them together, which is partly why the starfish blanket is not assembled yet.
Because we haven't blocked anything yet.
We haven't blocked them, even though we have a blocking thing that we've purchased specifically for blocking these, so we can try it and see how we like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just one of those things that has always stuck in my memory.
Uh-huh.
That finishing things and seaming things takes longer than a person thinks.
Yeah,
here I am.
It's
here
finishing.
I am monologuing like a movie villain. Like, let me tell you why you're never going to beat me, Boston Jen. Anyway, so Boston Jen is working on those things. And I finished a sweater this week. For me. An adult sweater. Of my dreams. I was going to take pictures of myself in it yesterday, but it was 90 degrees. And I did not... It was not dry... before it hit 90 degrees.
And you don't want to put your air conditioning on Arctic so you can take photos?
No, it makes me uncomfortable to do that for this. And plus, I can wait until today or tonight if I can stay awake long enough. I just have to figure out how I want to photograph it too, because it needs to be adequately dramatic for how terrific the sweater is. I finished my sprig pullover. The design is by Alana Dacos from Never Not Knitting. I believe this is from Botanical Knits 2. I knit it out of the Lisa Souza Superwash Merino in Squash Blossom Yellow, which is the best color in the history of the planet. I have sneakers to match it. It is my favorite color in the whole world. I had a dream about wearing this sweater years ago, and now I have it. And it's too hot to wear it. I chose not to do the button detail at the cuff because it's right against my ribs where it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be uncomfortable, so I skipped that.
The button detail on the sleeve is on your ribs.
It's on the inside of the elbow.
Okay.
Because they're half sleeves.
Uh-huh.
And it would be very uncomfortable to wear. Can I talk about how potato chippy the edges are on this sweater? So the collar and the cuffs are done vertically, and it eats up stitches horizontally. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And they're little teeny little rows.
It's like putting an edging on a blanket.
But so much more satisfying.
Okay.
Because you can see, because a blanket is huge and this is not.
Mm-hmm.
And the neckline has quite a lot of stitches, and you decrease them. Sometimes you decrease three stitches into one. Sometimes you decrease two stitches into one. And it kind of pulls, but then when you block it, because obviously we block our knitting, so it mm-hmm. looks as polished and finished as we want. So yesterday morning, I finished it, I think 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday, because I couldn't sleep. Woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't fall asleep, turned on some cartoons, and finished the edging on my sweater. So I'm sitting at the breakfast table doing the mattress stitch, because you mattress stitch the edges together mm-hmm. for the collar and the cuffs. So
right.
I did that, and then I washed the sweater because I've been hauling it around creation. And part of blocking is washing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal because if, like me, you've been dragging your stuff around creation, it's probably gotten funky and dirty. If it's not visibly dirty, you don't want to wear it the first time and find that
it smells
or
funny.
Not even that it smells, but like that it's dusty or that one section is kind of eh.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Or that you've got a handprint from someone admiring your work. Because, again, I've been dragging this around and kids have been looking at my stuff. So anyway, I hand washed it, and it's superwash merino, so I put it in the dryer on tumble dry low for a little while until it was almost dry. It's superwash.
Okay.
So superwash, and I can't, for the life of me, I cannot remember the real science reason, like the scientific reason why you would do this, but you throw it in the dryer when it's damp mm-hmm. on low heat, and it's fine, and it puts it where it's supposed to be. Somebody will tell me. Or I can look it up for next week if I remember, and then I'll rattle off some knowledge. But anyway, so I threw it in the dryer, and we went out for lunch, and I wove in the ends at the table while we were, because I thought the weather was going to hold, so that I could do it. So anyway,
okay.
Didn't. It was super hot when I got home, but my sweater was dry, and it's beautiful, and it's folded, and it's waiting for a label from Sterling Name Tapes.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Custom. They have two branches. One is like labels for summer camp clothes, which is timely, sort of,
mm-hmm.
for me to mention that. And the other one is special labels for your knitting and handwork. We'll link to that along with everything else we talk about in the show notes. So that's going to go in the back. That's my finish, but it's blocked. The ends are woven in. I took a teaser photo. It took all of my self-control. We went out for lunch with Andrew yesterday. I'm weaving in the ends of the table, and it took all my self-control not to stand up and be like, excuse me, everyone. I just finished knitting this sweater.
So like, bing, 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 bing.
If I can have your attention, please. I just finished making this sweater. Like in my imagination, like they would all like applaud, like in a movie. But in reality, it probably would not be. Because it's a bunch of tech people and, no. I don't know. I was hoping that like something impressive would happen at the soccer game at the same time. So they'd be like, woo, whistling through the fingers, jumping to their feet. But anyway, so I finished the sweater. And it is beautiful. It is so, so beautiful. I cannot wear it all the time. And make it my new bright colored sweater that I wear all the time. Like the green one. What have you been working on this week?
Well, not on my sweater. I haven't been working on this sweater because there needs math needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not bandwidth right now.
Okay.
So I've been looking for something that I can just knit on and go knit and knit and knit. So I exhumed the polygon blanket.
Mm-hmm.
out of the abyss of the UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back to knitting hexagons, and I'm on the last ball of coral.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all that is left is the turquoise.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So very I think pretty. There are five, six balls of turquoise yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm working on the last bit of the coral. What have you been working on?
I made some progress on the sleeve of my Descent cardigan by Andrea Rangel, and the yarn is from Enzula. And that is plugging along. I'm trying to knock things down in a way that makes sense, like get it done so that I can have something to take along with me. And the sleeves are, they're good round and round knitting while we're watching TV or whatever, but not great for knitting in the dark where you have to count rows and things. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get that done so that what's left on that is, and worsted weight sleeves go fast comparatively.
Yeah.
Because I also picked up my Polworth pullover last night because that was 10 rows from the cuff. And I was working on the brioche rib on the edge. And Andrew said, what are you doing? Because it didn't look like normal knitting, and I was growling at it because I'm not loving brioche right now. I have not done enough brioche to like it. I have not eaten enough cake to like brioche knitting. And I basically described it as unnecessarily complicated ribbing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where we are.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that the first sleeve is done except for the tubular bind off, and I worked across to the second sleeve, put it on the needles, and went to bed.
Good.
So that one, I need to do the bind off on the first sleeve so I can knit the second sleeve with the same ball of yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that sleeve is done, and this is on threes, I'm knitting that out of Neighborhood Fiber Company's Luxury Sport in their Sanctuary City Benefit colorway, which is stunning. And it's really beautiful. It's nice to work with. It's got a good hand. The color is beautiful. And it's on size 3 needles. So it's not going anywhere fast, but I'm enjoying it. And I noticed that she's got shaping. She's got bust shaping built into that sweater. So what I thought was just, this is going to sound very unflattering, what I thought was just a shapeless pullover actually has all these delightful surprises built into it. So thanks, Isolde. It's always a delight to work on one of her patterns. I have a shawl that I picked up a pattern for around stitches that I'm excited about. It's multi-directional. So I'll show it to you. I'll show you the picture. It's super cool.
Okay.
And we'll link to it in the show notes because when I show it to Mom, she'll have to link to it because we just talked about it. Everything we talk about in this week's episode will be linked in the show notes. What else have you got?
Pitten's Croy socks. So I was working on the Slate Jacquard colorway.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done the toes.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up stitches for the afterthought heel. So,
okay.
And I have some other sock working, cluttering around lonely by itself because I couldn't find my second set of sock rockets.
Hmm.
Usually I like to work my socks in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm done with one sock, they're really both done.
Yeah. I wonder.
Yes?
Where it could, I mean, did you check behind your mattress? Because you sometimes knit in bed. So if you scoot your mattress up, it might be under your mattress or somewhere else that you haven't tidied yet.
I need to tidy some more.
We've been doing a lot of cleaning this last week. So we've been finding a lot of strange stuff in strange places. And anyway, that's what made me think of cleaning up to find your thing. Anyway, I started my Tundra pullover. This is by the Petite Knitter because apparently there's more than one Tundra pullover in Ravelry. And if you'll recall, we have arbitrary knitting rules, and I had finished the sweater. I think it was my Sprig pullover that had the needles in it for my Tundra. But I'm knitting it out of A Verb for Keeping Warm's Pioneer. And this is there. If you listen to the Reverberate podcast, you should listen to the Reverberate podcast because it's interesting. But in their first episode, they talked to Sally Fox. And Pioneer, the wool comes from Sally Fox's sheep, and it's milled at Green Mountain Spinnery, which I think they interview in the third or fourth episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dye it in-house. And I believe, from what I understand, they get their dye stuffs, the stuff they don't grow themselves, they get locally. So it's very... And they were looking at they were thinking like farm to table, and it would be hashtag farm to fashion, because it goes
that
from...
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's going to be my hashtag for that sweater. I'm past the color work portion for the bottom. I did the ribbing and the color work, and now it's just where you zoom along the body. I'm knitting it at a tighter gauge because Pioneer's sweet spot is 5 stitches to the inch.
Mm-hmm.
And Tundra is written at 4.5 stitches to the inch. So I'm knitting the numbers for the size medium to give me the kind of ease I am looking for and fit that I'm looking for, and the length for the size small. So that is the hashtag choose your own adventure version of that sweater. So that is that. I have a little bit more of like swatching and other stuff. Do you have any more?
I knitted some preemie hats, and because I used to knit at least a preemie hat a week,
mm-hmm.
and that totally fell by the side of the road. I don't know why. But yeah, so a couple of preemie hats and some experimentation.
I'm making some progress on my viageanche. I have about 30 grams left before I do the edging,
uh-huh.
which is not that much considering. So this one might actually get finished for Stash Dash this year.
Oh, excellent. That's a lot of yardage.
It is a lot of yardage. Remember, I'm playing the long game. Like, this is a lot. It's as tall as Genevieve is, almost. I held it up next to her, and it's a lot. And she says, I might wear that. And I said, I didn't offer. I did some swatching this week.
Okay.
I swatched for my V-neck magpie tendency in Neighborhood Fiber Company Studio Sock. I washed the yarn. I swatched the yarn. I washed my swatch. I haven't measured my swatch. It's waiting. Because I also did my Tundra swatch at the same time. So they were drying in the same space. And I have another thing I'm going to swatch for, because once I finish my Polworth, I'll have needles empty for the next thing. Arbitrary knitting rules. So can we segue for a moment and go slightly off topic but still on topic?
Why not?
So I texted Dr. Gemma and said, is there a term for these arbitrary rules that we make? Like, what is it about the way we're wired that says I can't knit X sweater until I've finished Y sweater? And then I gave her an example. I said, for example, I can't work on my échelle. I can't start my échelle until I finish this other thing that I've got on the needles. But I started my Tundra because I finished this other thing. So
because you have a sequence in your head.
I do have a sequence, but I asked if there was like a real psychological term for this, because I feel like there's no rule. No one's going to like burst through the door and tell me, like, to take my knitting away and be like, you're doing it in the wrong order. It's not that I don't have needles. I'm not doing this specific. I mean, yes and no. It tends to be the same size yarn that I'm going from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But not because I don't have needles. And, like, to be totally honest, not having needles has never stopped me from just picking up some new needles before. Though I'm trying to be more conscious about what I'm purchasing and what I'm finishing and what I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to figure out if there was, a reason or a phrase for it or something. And we were just joking back and forth. She's like, whatever it is, my name is on the top of it, because I have those same hang-ups about I have to finish this before I can start the this. So... if someone knows, or if they want to coin it, it's open.
Okay.
Because these things are real. Like, I pulled out my fade cardigan,
mm-hmm.
To make sure that the underarms were comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And I'm waiting to finish that until I finish this other thing. But also I have to carry it around. I have one of the giant sweater bags from Little Skein and the Big Wool, because those bucket bags hold, I think, 20 skeins of yarn, like 20 100-gram skeins of yarn. And this is 10 full-sized skeins of yarn plus the sweater I'm working on that are in there. So there's still a little bit of room in my bag, but nothing else I have was quite big enough to fit all the yarn for the sweater. And it's going to be a big sweater. It's going to be longer length than I normally do. So
Tunic length?
Yeah, because I want to fit all the colors.
Oh.
And in order to fit all the colors and get a fade stripe, it has to be 30 inches from shoulder to hem. So I need to lay out one of my tunic length cardigans and figure out where to do the split, because I'm not going to do increases. Though I theoretically could do increases for the back 40 and have it flare. Mm-hmm. These are choices I'm going to have to make pretty soon, because I'm about an inch below the armholes. So shaping would theoretically start now. Maybe I'll do that. I have enough yarn. I'm not going to run out, even with my incredibly generous inheritance that you have bestowed upon me.
You're welcome.
All right. So anyway, if you guys have a term for these arbitrary knitting rules, I would love to hear it. Or if you want to coin a term, I'm open. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. We all have it. We all snicker about it. Fun fur. Whether it's eyelash boucle or just generally furry, it's hard to find projects for novelty yarn. With a sweet face, spiraling horns, and delightfully rotund body, Friend Sheep by Kate Carter Evans lets you transform your novelty and textured yarns into sweet, fleecy little friends. Pattern is available on Ravelry. More info at infinitetwist.com. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
What events are we attending / participating in the near future?
So the Choose Your Own Adventure Cal is ongoing. And I'm knitting my Rocky Coast cardigan for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's temporarily on hold until I figure out what my next step is.
Okay.
And then Stash Dash started May 24th. And it runs till August 24th, and this is hosted by the Knit Girls.
Mm-hmm.
May 31st till the end of August, the Two Use Not Along is going on, and it's not knitting, crochet, not spinning, or weaving.
Mm-hmm.
Find another way to deal with fiber.
Okay.
And the Tour de Fleece runs from July 6th. Until the 28th.
I feel like the 6th is Saturday? It's Saturday of this week.
Excellent.
So the episode should have just dropped for your listening pleasure while you tour de fleece along. Otherwise, you could watch some stuff on TV. You know, some people do. Listen to podcasts, listen to a book on tape, listen to an audiobook. I need my eyes to be doing something because I don't really watch my spinning. So... But since we don't watch TV during the day, I will see if I can spin with my children around. That in itself will be something. All right. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. No matter what you need, the Barmaids have you covered from head to toe. Face pudding to keep you smiling. Lolo lips to keep them kissable. Probiotic deodorant for keeping you fresh as a rose. O for feet's sake to keep your feet soft and sandal ready. And the Lolo body bar for everything in between. You can find all this and more at bar-maids.com.
This week, for Mother Knows Best, we answer a question from the What Do You Want to Hear About thread. Jasmine Lovey, what question are we answering today?
Today we're answering a post from Naomi Sarah 81, who writes, you sometimes talk about putting your garments in the dryer to shrink them slightly. Do you put them in dry, wet, slightly wet? For how long? What about superwash versus non-superwash woolens? I have a sweater that is slightly too big. I want to try this, but I'm scared. Okay. So, the yarn manufacturer / dyer / whoever puts the label on the yarn usually has directions on how to best launder their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10 years ago, I noticed an industry shift from superwash meant throw it in the washer, throw it in the dryer on normal cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, well, you can wash it in the machine on cold by itself with a special soap, but absolutely don't put it in the dryer, because the people who do the superwash process,
mm-hmm.
were changing how they did the superwash. So you can strip the scales to make it superwash, or you can glue them down. And if they're glued
from, I think it's the wax, and if you keep throwing it in the dryer, I think the wax comes off
and it shrinks. So after having a pair of freshly finished socks shrinking on the first wash through the washer and dryer on a normal cycle, I don't. If it's all wool, or if it's, you know, because like the stuff that's a blend of superwash wool and nylon in my experience, haven't felted, and they haven't shrunk and felted. But with sweaters, I'm more hesitant. And you can obviously wash and dry your swatch, which is another great reason to do a swatch. Is to, if it's super washed, throw it in the washer, throw it in the dryer, and see how it does.
And put it in a lingerie bag so it doesn't get lost.
Or clog up your thing, because it can get caught in the workings of your washer if it's small. If you need a real size swatch, this is probably not an issue, but mine always go in a lingerie bag. So, that said, if it's not a super wash sweater, I wait until the sweater is absolutely positively dry, and I throw it in the dryer on a normal cycle for like 10 minutes. What you need to felt is temperature change and agitation.
And liquid.
Yes, it needs to be wet, but or damp. But if by just throwing it in the dryer, it just adds a little bit of heat and a little bit of agitation, which tends to make it just back into shape.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the superwash stuff, I was looking at the Neighborhood Fiber Company's website. So for their yarn specifically, it says tumble dry low. So I did that. And my dryer, I have a front-loading dryer. Mm-hmm. They're all front-loading, aren't they? But it's a front-loading washer-dryer set. And we have a little sweater rack you can slide in if you don't want it to tumble. Mm-hmm. So if you put it in wet and it's a hand wash, non-super wash sweater, you would put it on this little shelf and it would, I guess, blow hot air around it. That's my assumption. I don't use that part. I just throw it on a sweater dryer and put it in the backyard or over the bathtub, depending on what time of year it is.
Mm-hmm.
So with the super wash yarns, I let it tumble dry until it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to get it exactly the shape it's supposed to be and exactly the way it's supposed to be. And that's how the sprig worked, which is why I wanted to talk about this in this week's episode. Do you have anything you want to add to this conversation about dryers and getting stuff to slurp back into shape?
So I don't hand wash my socks. My socks go in a lingerie bag,
mm-hmm.
in with my regular light colored laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Not whites, light colors.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're washed, I fish the lingerie bag out and drape it over the shower door in my bathroom.
So you air dry them?
Yes.
Interesting.
And sometimes I have help and the socks go... No, I think we're okay.
Nobody's been helping you with the laundry? Helping in quotes?
No, it's... I've said that anything in a lingerie bag categorically does not go in the dryer.
It's a good signal. It's a good visual.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do that as well for a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
All right. Let's move on. Oh, wait. Keep your questions coming and we will keep answering them. Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Carry your creativity with Erin Lane Bags. Whether you show your fiber fandom with Woolly Wonder Sheepleverse or dive into history with the Curiosities Collection, our project bags, totes, and hook and needle organizers are at the ready to keep your hobby happy. You can find links to Erin Lane along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes.
It's when knitting attacks.
Mother dearest.
Lovey.
How's your knitting been treating you?
So I've been trying to knit up the yarn that is left over from my croy socks into preemie hats.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping to use up all the yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And you need quite a bit of yarn to make a pom-pom. So I was trying to knit from the top down. And then ideally use up all the yarn.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, and I cast on, I used Judy's Magic Cast On, cast on 8 stitches and then did yarn over increases.
Mm-hmm.
And yarn over increases. It didn't leave this lacy. It didn't make it look lacy. It made it look sloppy.
Mm.
So I didn't like that. And then I knitted all
the... Did you tear them out? Did you rip it out or did you? What did you do?
No, I left it. And then I...
What are you going to do with it? Are you going to run ribbon through it or...
It doesn't lend itself to ribbon. I think a good blocking might help it.
Okay.
or maybe I'll just toss it because it's unfortunate looking. And then I knit
it. You could just re-knit it into something beautiful.
That's a better idea. So
just a thought.
I knitted it all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And did, and I figured it would roll up
mm-hmm.
into a brim, a rolled brim.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have enough. And so it just looks sad. And mm-hmm. I think pulling it out and knitting up from the bottom will be much better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is just unattractive. It is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's my knitting.
Oh.
And my knitting attacks.
The plastic clip stitch markers that I've been using they weren't great quality to start with, and they break pretty easily. And this week I was looking at it, and I've been thinking about a lot of the discussions about
sustainability
as part of like this bigger discussion that we've been having in the knitting community about anti-racism and things like that. And Asia Barber specifically is talking about sustainability in fashion and things, and it just kind of, like, I've got this thing at the back of my brain because she's talking about things that I hadn't considered before and things that maybe I knew but I wasn't, that weren't at the top of my consciousness. And I was looking at how many of these little stitch markers break every time I use them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm going to get some of those metal gourd stitch markers that last. They have a special name.
The ones that look like little light bulbs.
Yes. And I think I'm going to use those instead moving forward. Like, as the plastic ones break and give up the ghost, I'm not going to replace them with more plastic ones. I'm going to replace them with some metal ones that are better for the environment and more sustainable and will last longer.
None of the good ones have broken. They were...
The clover ones don't break.
The clover ones don't break. These are the cheap ones.
Yeah. And the clover ones, I believe... I mean, you pay.
Yeah.
It cost, I don't know, they were like $7 for 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago.
Yeah.
So if you need a lot of them, that might not be as workable. But the metal ones are inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are plastic coated or are stainless steel, I think Makers Mercantile sells them. I saw some at Verb when I was there on Sunday. So you can get them where they won't tarnish in your knitting. But double check what they're made out of, because if you leave them in your knitting and they're metal, they can rust. Which was part of the appeal of the plastic, was that mm-hmm. it wasn't going to rust.
Right.
So I feel like we can have the best of both worlds without throwing, I don't know, a dozen of them away for every project I work on.
Yeah.
So that is my knitting attacks, because I picked up my Polworth sweater last night, and one of the stitch markers that was keeping track of how many decreases I'd done on the sleeve mm-hmm. had broken and was somewhere in the bag. Which defeats the purpose of having it in there to keep track of where I am, right?
Right.
So I can just look and say, I've done this many decreases at this rate. So anyway, so there's that. All right. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors, Books Plus Knitting Plus Happy Memories. That's a little skein in the big wool. We make kits, yarn, and project bags that bring your favorite stories to life. Find your favorite story at littleskein.com. This week for our review, we will be reviewing Go Vertical with Color Loops by Amelia Archer. This sells for $30 on Ravelry, but I don't have the print copy cost, but she sent us a hard copy of it in the mail to review. Would you like to...
Yes, I would. So this is a really interesting idea, but this is totally out of the box. So she has vertical stripes going down.
Which is not, it's an intarsia technique, but not exactly intarsia.
Yeah, so.
Non-tarsia.
It's totally out of the box. And... So you have vertical stripes on the socks, and you don't do stranding per se,
mm-hmm.
like traditional stranding. You have vertical stripes going up the sides of your leg or the center of your leg. And the problem with Fair Isle and color work is generally that it makes your knitting tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And since these are vertical stripes, they don't go across. They go up and down.
Mm-hmm. And it is very interesting looking. And honestly, this is a good thing to try on a quiet afternoon with a cup of coffee. Because honestly, it seems like magic. Like, I can see it working in the book, mm-hmm. and I've read it. So once upon a time when I was interning over at XRX, mm-hmm. There was a technique for purling with the yarn in the back, and I thought, there's no way this actually works. So I actually had to fish out my knitting to uh-huh. see that. And that's, and the Perfect Buttonhole by Anna Zilberg, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like that to me, where you have to sit down and you have to do it quietly. This also is not a technique that I think is useful for dragging along with you. This is good staying at home knitting.
Once you have it set up, you mm-hmm. can take it with.
Yeah, the setup is very, it's a bit intimidating looking.
It's just fiddly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a few minutes to set it up, you'll be good to go.
I'm really excited to try this. I haven't had a chance to put it down because I haven't had the bandwidth to.
It gets really interested when she's using self-striping yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And then she works vertical stripes into that. So you end up with a plaid.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
The look of the patterns in the book are really interesting. And I can see how the technique could be applicable to other stuff usually. I'm looking at this with an eye to Argyle socks because I have a love of Argyle, and
there's a pattern for Argyle in it.
I did see that. And an allergy to Intarsia. It makes me.
Makes you itch?
Makes me unpleasant. It makes me irritable.
The one thing I didn't care for was the short row toe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done one short row toe.
And it wasn't worth
it
for you?
In my history of knitting, and you still have to graft it
mm-hmm.
somewhere, and I didn't care for that. So, of course, I didn't exactly read her directions.
Not perfectly, exactly, clearly. That's why I wanted to sit with this on a quiet day, but on that, with that in mind, if I was going to do that, it would take 6 months to 5 years for us to review this.
That's right. So, she explains the technique, and then she walks you through a sock as she's knitting it. There's a lot of pictures.
There are a lot of pictures. And this, she said in her, she sent us a note with the book that basically said it wasn't formatted for print. Like, they did a print run of it, but it's better as a digital ebook.
I think I would agree.
Yeah. This is one I would like to have on my iPad so I can scoot through it as I go. You know what I mean?
That's a good idea.
Like, honestly, the pattern that she shows the technique with at the beginning is so appealing. The rest of the patterns, the whole thing is that the patterns don't really appeal to me in the book, but the ideas behind
it's
them.
The idea.
Like, I can see where they would fit in my knitting toolbox.
You take your own tried and true
stuff.
Sock pattern, yeah. And then you work your magic with her technique
mm-hmm.
into it.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yes.
It's a really cool idea.
Uh-huh.
If you are a technique enthusiast, this is a good fit for you. If this also feels like, I mean, I don't want to say, like, if you don't like Intarsia, you might like this, because I haven't tried it myself, but it feels like a good alternative to Intarsia to me.
I don't think it really applies to Intarsia.
You don't think so?
Mm.
Not one for one. Definitely. It's not a perfect overlap, but it might be for when you want to do something that is Intarsia adjacent.
Possibly.
Like the Argyle thing. This is definitely a technique book for people who are into something new and interesting and different.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would place this. What do you think?
I think it has a lot of potential for fun.
Mm-hmm. You know what this would be great to try on? Preemie hats. So maybe we will get to this a little bit sooner than 6 months out.
Okay.
Alrighty. If this sounds like a book that you need to expand your technique repertoire, this is Go Vertical with Color Loops by Amelia Archer. It retails for $30 on Ravelry, and we will link to it along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Good?
Excellent.
Let's move on to the next segment. The Tour de Fleece starts this week. I have been looking and looking and looking for drive band material for my mom. And I went to the Japanese grocery store to find some of their cooking twine, which is the thing that Judith McKenzie recommends. And they didn't have any. And so we went online and we looked there and we found something that's passable, but isn't the same. So it's just driving me. It's driving me to distraction to try and figure this out. So what I'm going to do is use the stuff we just bought.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that you want me to set up your matchless in double drive so that if you decide to use Scotch tension, you can just pop both drive bands into one groove of the whirl.
That sounds like the most efficient.
Yeah, that's how I do mine.
Okay.
Which is good. All right. I want to remind people to drink water and take lots of stretch breaks and get enough sleep because if you'll remember, Carson talked about in our interview with him that we aired ages ago, which we'll link to in the show notes, that it's rest that helps bounce your muscles back into shape, not just stretching or doing counter activities, something that works the opposite direction or whatever. If you haven't picked up a copy of Carson's book, by the way, you absolutely should. It is incredibly useful. It is not inexpensive. I believe it retails for $50, but it is worth every penny because things that extend your knitting and crafting life, I think, it's a good investment in your body. Also, if you have the opportunity to take a class from him, it will change how you think about how you work with your hands. All right, we have the Tour de Fleece starting on Saturday, so you can find the Team Sasquatch group on Ravelry. It's a forum group in Ravelry. It's called Team Sasquatch. Is there anything else we want to add?
No, I think that covers it.
All right, take good care of yourselves and happy riding. Bonne chance. Bonne chance is good luck.
Yeah.
That's about as much French as I've got. All right. We'll look it up for next week. Let's move on to the next segment. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
How is your sewing this week?
I'm going to talk about Genevieve's sewing because I haven't sewn anything.
I should ask if she wants to talk about her sewing next week.
I take that back. I did some mending.
Ah.
But yeah. Also, I've misplaced my toolbox for my sewing machine. The little box that comes with the machines. And all my presser feet are in there. So
a wise woman once told me if you clean up, what you're missing will turn up.
Yes. So but Genevieve came over on Friday. Friday is our cooking and sewing date.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't need me. She set up all by herself. And you were telling me that 7 is a very competent age.
7.5 is incredibly capable and independent.
Yeah. So she set up the machine. She got some more notebook paper. And her lines are getting straighter. She is more confident. And she set the machine to a faster speed. And
do you have her pages?
Her lines are looking good.
Can I see?
Yes.
We should post pictures of this on Instagram. Look at that. Look at her go.
And she
We should have her do the Grinch along bags this year.
Okay. And she is kind of at a spot where she thinks she can do maybe a little bit more than just sewing straight lines. So I showed her the next page in our...
Oh, the mouse trap. The maze.
It's a maze. Mm-hmm. And that the technique for this is to pivot on the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the next step. And the step after that is doing up and down curves where you have to do very sharp pivots.
That's challenging.
So, yeah, and it's okay. She goes at her own pace, and we're good.
It is very interesting watching. So Rex will be 4 in August, and he's doing the 4-year-old version of what she's doing at 7.5. And I remember her being almost 4 and wanting to get her own cup and wanting to get her own food and wanting to dish her own stuff, which is great. This all fosters independence and self-esteem. But it's like time travel because Genevieve is future. And I can see Rex doing literally the same things Genevieve did at the same age. So That is really exciting.
I was doing a lot of puzzles with Genevieve at that age.
And Rex is starting to get into puzzles too.
Yeah, and I'm thinking maybe the special thing I do with Rex is doing puzzles. And I timed Genevieve one time, just for fun.
Genevieve loves a timer, in case you're wondering.
And she was doing a puzzle by herself in 15 minutes. And it was a puzzle we had done lots of times. Mm-hmm. But she was confident and she knew she could do it. So I just sat back. All I did was make sure all the pieces were turned over to the picture side. Mm-hmm. And then I sat back and she had added.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to show people on social media what we're doing. You can follow us as Knitmore Girls on Instagram and all the other places, and we're going to do this in the outro. So, it sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week, we'd like to thank the Barmaids, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Little Skein and the Big Wool, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything we've talked about in this week's episode, can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. And you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Periscope, Spotify, iTunes, and Pandora as Knitmore Girls. And if you haven't already joined our Ravelry group, you absolutely should. It's full of amazing people and fantastic conversation. Remember, this is Jasmine.
And Gigi.
Telling you to knit more.